So some of the men know me from 33, the series, in your connection groups. I see some heads nodding. I apologize that I'm a lot uglier in person than I am on the videos. There's not a much that I can do live and in person. 33 is a journey to authentic manhood as modeled by Jesus in his 33 years on earth. And so I'm one of the co-creators and presenters. There's six volumes of content. But here's the important thing. This is not a class about behavior modification. I mean, certainly these principles will modify our behavior, but more than that, we need a Savior. It's about transformation. And so as men begin to follow Jesus, we begin to live out that life-giving spirit that we're created to live. So just last fall, I launched a new mission. I resigned from my church staff position to step into what's called the Authentic Manhood Initiative. I discovered that there are over a million men around the world who have already been reached by 33 the series. Now, that's amazing to me. And here's the other thing. All the proceeds do not go to me or the other presenters. We don't get any royalties. It all goes to a church planting residency program that teaches these young church planters to implement the biblical principles of manhood into their church planting strategy. And because of that, are you ready for this? They have planted over 100 successful churches. So we're building stronger men. We're planting healthier churches. And so as good as all that is, I mean, you know, we could just kind of, man, rest on that. But did you know there are over 100 million men ages 18 and up in this country alone? And I promise you, most of those men have never had any conversations about biblical manhood. So we've got a lot of work to do. And so that's what Authentic Manhood Initiative is all about. We are building a network of men reaching men with the biblical principles of manhood. So great to be with you here today. Happy Father's Day. And so I want to turn our attention to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 this morning. And I want to specifically apply these scriptures to us as dads. Now, for all of the women or the single moms, please don't, you know, tune this out and say, well, this isn't for me. All these principles apply to every one of us, but because it's Father's Day, we're going to specifically apply it to us as dads. And so, Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 4, and let's read that and just pause for a moment. In fact, read it out loud with me. Ready? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You know what they're saying? He's saying God is unique. Our God, Yahweh, is not one of the many gods, and we hope you pick him. He is the one true God. And there's an implied therefore, okay? Read on, okay? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That should sound very familiar to you. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? He pointed them to this. He's saying the essence of all the laws rests on this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, your mind, and your strength. Now, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And so here's what I see from this scripture. I see five things that every child needs. Now, clearly, these are things for all of us, but specifically it says you need to do these things with your children. And the first one I see is this, is in verse 5 again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is a dad who loves God completely, all right? Heart, soul, and strength. Jesus added mind. He says, love God with all your heart emotionally, with all your soul, okay, willfully, with your mind, okay, mentally, intellectually, and with all your strength physically, okay? So everything we do, every part of us calibrates to this. This is the total package, loving God completely. And then there's more in verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And so I see a dad who loves not only God, but he loves God's word. completely. And there's a difference. Because you see, in general, you might say, well, sure, I love God. Really now. If you love God, you're going to love His Word. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so that's kind of a let me keep you honest statement. You really love God, you're also going to love His Word. And you're going to love His Word wholeheartedly. See, God's Word is integrated into our life. And we're transformed by it. That's what Paul was saying in Romans. He said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So we've got to integrate God's Word into our mind to reprogram ourselves to God's Word. And we love God's Word wholeheartedly. We treasure God's Word. Scripture speaks to this, of how important and valuable God's Word is. In Psalm 119, verse 72, it says, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver. Man, it's highly valuable. It's a treasure. And Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. I'd like to just clarify it like this. Where your affections lie, that's where your investments lie. Where your investments lie, that's where your affections are. You see, we invest in what we really love, don't we? I mean, it's easy to invest in something that we're excited about. I mean, no questions asked, man. We'll pull out all the stops, you know. Blank check for this because we value this. And where our affections lie, that's where our heart is. That's where our treasure is. A third thing that a child needs is this. It's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. It says, impress these commandments on your children. This is a dad who leads his children intentionally. If you're going to impress them, you've got to be intentional about it. Right? You've got to look for opportunities to intentionally impress these on your children. So this is a dad who accepts responsibility to lead his children. Right? He doesn't defer to his wife. He doesn't come home and say, I've worked hard all day to make a living and provide for this family. Now, honey, kids are yours. He doesn't do that. He doesn't defer to the school. Or to the church. When I was a student pastor for a while, it always seemed that parents would bring me their kids at church and say, okay, you fix them. All right. We've tried. We can't. Okay, they're yours. All right. That's what the church is here for. Fix the kids. All right. But you see, a dad who really loves God and loves completely loves his word wholeheartedly, he doesn't defer to the wife or the school or the church, he accepts responsibility. And it's important that we understand there is a difference in impressing these things on them and oppressing them, all right? We want to impress, not oppress. Because when you oppress, you're going to depress them. You're going to dishearten them. Ephesians 6, verse 4 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Don't wear them out, all right? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so, yes, impress them, but don't depress them. Don't oppress them. There's a familiar scripture in Proverbs 22. It's a great promise. Verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, as I mentioned when we started, this is not just for dads. Thank God for the single moms. I grew up with a single mom. My father was kind of a ghost when he was alive. I have really hardly any memories, if any, about my dad. But my mom started following Jesus a year before my dad died. He died when I was only 10, and she never remarried. And so she impressed God's word on my heart. She did a great job. She lived it out, showed me what it looked like. And she knew that when I graduated from high school and went off to college, that her primary time to influence was done. She prayed that God would cross my path with other people who would remind me. But even more than that, she said, God, all those things that I've tried to impress on my son, don't let him escape from them. All right, reminding him of those things. And you know what? There are some times when I was intentionally running away from God, I just couldn't get away from his truth. And that's what Scripture means, okay? Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he won't be able to get away from it. He can't depart from it. But there's something about this passage that a lot of times we don't aware is hidden in there. The original language implies this. Train up a child according to their bent. Now, how many of you have more than one child? You have two, maybe three, all right? Have you noticed they're all wired differently? I mean, it's just baffling. So whatever worked with the first one may not work with the second one. Whatever worked with those two may not work with number three. So you got to figure out, how has God uniquely bent them? The first one may have been all about athletics. For some dads, you're thinking, man, I love that. I can live my life through them, okay? And then you're all for that. But then the second one might be more artistic, and you don't know what to do with that. So you're going to have to figure that out. You're going to have to call in some, you know, some help with that, all right? The other one might be more analytical, more about spreadsheets, you know, more logic, logistical. Might work at NASA. And so they're all are wired differently. And so here's what that might look like. I brought some tools with me today since it's Father's Day. This piece of rebar is clearly bent in one direction, right? And so as parents, if you know God has wired your children in this direction, you're going to train them up according to the bent. You may not like it, and you may say, well, I can fix that. I'm going to bend them back the other way. Well, it's going to be painful. Painful for them. You're probably going to hurt yourself in the process, right? And so we need to be careful in impressing our children and being intentional about this, that we don't exasperate them. And so we need to be sure that we are affirming them. God the Father modeled this us with Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he said, this is my beloved son. I love him. I am well pleased with him. Listen to him. He's got good things to say. Every child needs to leave home with these three things. I love you. I am proud of you. And you are very good at, and then fill in the blank. And you know what I've discovered? That works not just with your kids. It works with all kids. If you just kind of stop them when you see them doing something good, say, man, way to go, I'm proud of you. They kind of grow a couple inches. Have you noticed? But I've noticed as just a man, if somebody says that to me, it helps me. It's affirming. And so as we are impressing these things on our children, be sure that they are hearing these things and they know, they never have to question. Yeah, I have a dad. I have parents who love me. They're proud of me. And they know that they've affirmed me. As you study parenting styles, you can see four different parenting styles. At this top of this quadrant is high in love, bottom is low in love, to the left is low discipline instruction, to the right, high discipline instruction. So let's say that there is a parent who's very high in love, but there's not a lot of discipline instruction. We'd call that permissive. All right, really love them, but it's like, you know, I love you, and I want you to be free. I want you to make your own choices, so I'm not going to give you any parameters. We'd call that permissive. Now, if there's a parent who's low in discipline and instruction and also low in love, we'd call that neglectful. I mean, basically, they're just MIA, and the kids are just kind of out there for themselves trying to figure stuff out. That's neglectful. If we go over to the next one, high discipline and instruction but low in love, that would be authoritarian. I mean, man, there are a lot of rules. Do this, don't do that. Why? Well, because I'm in charge. There's no love in that. That's authoritarian. Then if there's a lot of love, but also a lot of discipline and instruction, we'd call that authoritative. Hey, you know the worst parenting style? The worst? Authoritarian. And I guarantee you, if you are high in discipline and instruction, do this, don't do that. Why? Because I'm in charge, but there's no love. When kids get outside of your influence, they'll probably run away from everything you said because you never connected with their heart. You just connected with their behavior. Our job is not just to raise compliant kids who don't get arrested and don't embarrass us. We need to connect with their heart. And so you can't just give them discipline instruction. You've also got to give them love. The best parenting style, authoritative, where you're not afraid to draw the line. And man, you say this is truth, but you do it in a way that is high in love. The best to worst, authoritative is number one. Second best is permissive, but don't default to that and say, well, I'll just go that way, okay? Aim for the best. Third is neglectful, and the worst is authoritarian. Some of you may have grown up with an authoritarian household, and it was just legalism. Man, I tell you, law is a good thing, but without a relationship with God, it's a very destructive thing. So children need a dad who leads his children intentionally. In doing it, we need to do it like Jesus. In John 1:17, it says, "The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus." Now, Jesus didn't have to switch off grace to access truth. Jesus was not a balance of grace and truth. Jesus was this, grace and truth, always, all the time. Now, that might look different in different circumstances. When he was with the woman caught in the act of adultery, the church crowd, the religious crowd, wanted to stone her. Well, he didn't overlook her sin, but he extended grace and forgiveness. Go and sin no more. And there it is, drawing the line with love. A woman caught in the act of adultery, similar thing. He knew she had had a bunch of husbands, was living with a guy who wasn't her husband. He didn't excuse any of that, but he still offered her living water. We need to learn how to, in leading children, to exercise grace and truth and connect with their heart. We need to be intentional. And so I'm always looking for opportunities to do this. I'm 64. Believe it or not, I've got a 14-year-old daughter, okay? And I don't know what I was thinking. I married late, and then we were married for 17 years before she was born. Now, when my daughter was just a little thing, she would come in our bedroom, and she would see pictures of our wedding on the wall. And she asked my wife that first day, she said, "Mommy, what are those?" And my wife said, "Those are pictures. And Daddy said he promised he would love me always, and he gave me a ring." And she said, "Okay." And then she'd kind of go off, and she'd come back maybe a week or two later and say, "Mommy, what are those?" Same answer. "When Daddy promised he'd love me always, and he gave me a ring." Finally, she asked, you know, third or fourth time, my wife said, "Well, what did I tell you those were?" And she said, "That's when Daddy gave you a ring and promised he'd love you always." And then she paused, and she said, "Mommy, is Daddy going to give me a ring one day?" Yeah, okay. My heart melted. Went to James Avery, and I got a ring. Asked her out on a date. I knew I wanted to date her. I just knew it was going to come so soon. And so she's about to turn four there. We went to Johnny Rockets in the Woodlands, had milkshakes and hamburgers. And then I took her out to the fountain and had a little box, and I gave it to her. And as soon as I gave her just the box, her eyes lit up because she knew what was on the inside. I had this little ring, and I gave it to her. And I said, "Anna, this ring is to symbolize that I will love you always no matter what, and that God's going to love you always no matter what, and that I'm going to love your mommy no matter what." And I made this little card just to kind of create for her to commemorate that. She still has the card, still has the ring. She's now 14. We celebrated her 14th birthday. They're not with me today because they're volunteering in our children's area at our church, and they're getting ready for our church's vacation Bible school. They were both volunteering there. Now, how did all this happen? How did this come to be? All right? Guys, it just doesn't automatically happen. You have to look for opportunities to be intentional so you can impress God's truth on their heart. Hey, here's the fourth thing that a child needs from their dad especially, but from their parents. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." This is a dad who speaks God's truth freely. It's coming out of your mouth. It's coming out of my mouth. And you may say, "Oh, no, I can't talk about, you know, God's word too easily. You know, it scares me to do that." Some of that is personality, okay? So don't feel guilty about that, but God can help you. But here's the thing. Start here. If we really do love God, and if we really do love his word, it's going to come out of our mouth because we talk about the things we love, right? Hey, you love the Astros? You can talk about them all day. You love the Texans, man? We don't have to bribe you to talk about them. You talk about what you love. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, "A good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of all the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." So what's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. So we speak God's truth freely. Now, here's the question. As you're looking for opportunities to connect with their heart, so what are you going to talk about? Oh, man, radar up. You're going to talk about everything. And it can come out of nowhere. I mean, you're just kind of on your way somewhere, you know, taking them to an event or a practice or something, and then out of the blue comes something from their mouth, and you realize, here's an opportunity to speak truth, to kind of share my story. You see, your children need to be able to say, let me tell you how my daddy put his faith in Jesus. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Let me tell you how my mom realized Jesus is who he says he is, and she put her faith in Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? Do your kids know your story? Are you talking about what God has done and is doing in your life? Are you speaking his truth freely? Tim Kimmel, in his book, Grace-Based Parenting, he says that we need to give our kids freedom to be different, to be vulnerable, and to be candid, to talk. No, they can say anything. You see, God's grace, the Bible says that where sin increased, all the more grace abounded. God's grace is a shockproof grace. So as you're talking and you're looking for opportunities to engage in conversation, parents, you need to work on your poker face. Because they may say something and you can't go, oh, I can't believe you said that. All right, you need to dial into God's grace, all right? Hey, did you know our kids are capable of doing some very bad things? Do you know why? Because we're their parents. And we're sinners. And we are all very capable of thinking and even doing some very bad things. And so in grace-based parenting, as we speak God's truth freely, it's grace and truth. We share it in a way that doesn't minimize sin, but we share it in a way that says God has a solution for that. And we create this environment where you really can talk about anything. Finally, number five, Deuteronomy 6, 8, and 9 says, tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Now, that's a very specific thing he was telling them to do. A very practical thing. This is a dad who stands guard courageously. Now, they were specifically talking about some Jewish traditions to tie them on your, you know, tack them on your doorposts. This was a mezuzah, okay? It's called a mezuzah. It was a small piece of parchment, usually containing that line from Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And so you'd fold it or you'd roll it, you'd place it in a small case, you'd attach it to the right side of the doorway of your home, about shoulder height. Tradition dictated that you put it there within 30 days of moving into your house. And so that was a very practical application. Then it says, bind them on your forehead. These were called phylacteries. Phylacteries. These are these small leather boxes that contain portions of the law of Moses, okay? You'd strap the boxes to your forehead, to your wrist, sort of a headband, you know, that you literally carried the laws of God over your eyes and on your hands. Jesus mentioned this because, you know, we can take any religious thing that we do and turn it into just a ritual. And he knew that a lot of religious people had done that. And he pointed to this in Matthew 23. He says, look, everything they do, the religious crowd, the church crowd, everything they're doing is just done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide, is what he said. And so it was all for show. And he was saying, you've missed the essence of this. It's not about how wide your phylacteries are. It's not about how many plaques you've got in your house that say, for me and my house, you know, we'll serve the Lord, and all these scriptures and cliches, and how many Christian t-shirts you have. It's so much more than that. So much more than that. Our application, man, you're standing guard over your family with the full armor of God. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the helmet of salvation. But in particular, it says you've got the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It is the Word of God. And so we are people who know God's Word and we know how to use it, all right? And so you know more than just, for God so loved the world and gave his only son, you know, he gave his own life, blah, blah, blah. You know more than Jesus wept. you know things like, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things that are above where Christ is. You know things like, put these things away, anger, rage, malice, slander from your mouth. Put these things on, you know, love and mercy and kindness. Things like, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, guys, I am not showing off here, okay? I just started learning these things when I first started following Jesus. And they're part of my life. They're just integrated into my life. You know what? I learned that from my mom. She was not a theologian. She was not a stage person. But I would sometimes hear her praying early in the morning. And she'd be praying, just her, you know, and her and God. And she would integrate things into her prayers that were scripture. She wouldn't say, no, God, in your word in Philippians, it says. She would just pray, God, this thing I'm facing is so hard, but I know with you I can do all things through Christ because you'll give me the strength. God's word was just integrating her life. She wielded that sword, and it wasn't done in a religious, legalistic way. So, guys, question. Do you have a sword, and do you know how to use it? Or do you just have a little pocket knife? A little plastic knife. All right, we need to impress these things on our children. We need to stand guard courageously. So here's our list, five things that every child needs. We love God completely, and whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, or just a single person, all of these things apply. We love God completely. We love His Word wholeheartedly. And then we lead children intentionally. And even if you don't have children of your own, look for opportunities to lead them intentionally. And God can use you in that. And you speak God's truth freely, and you stand guard courageously. I want to leave you with this final thought. Remember this, all right? Remember this. A child will leave with what we have lived out in our homes.